Well, good morning. The Lord be with you. Thank you, guys. I want to welcome you to our service of worship today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jimmy Criddle, the lead pastor here. And today we are kicking off a brand new season for our church, 30 days of prayer and fasting, starting today, running through the 1st of October. And So I'm excited about the season and what God wants to do among us as we commit to these spiritual disciplines as a community of faith. I just trust that God is going to lead us and give us vision and bless our lives immensely in our personal walks with Christ as we lean into this season. Today I'd like to share with you sort of a theme verse for these next several weeks. And I'm going to be preaching throughout this season from the book of Ephesians. So we're going to be doing a little mini book series here on the book of Ephesians. And this morning I want to read some verses that, in my opinion, kind of encapsulate the heart of the message of what Paul is getting at in this book. So if you'll look with me at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, I'm reading out of the New Revised Standard, the NRSV, which is our official translation for our denomination. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, as we listen to the message today and focus our hearts around these verses here in Ephesians, Lord, we pray that you would build up our faith as we go into this time of prayer and fasting, that God, we would commit ourselves wholeheartedly to you, and that, Father, you would seek to pour out a blessing upon our lives, that power, that transformed that grave, that tomb that Jesus went down into a sign of life and a blessing to all of creation. I pray that that power would be at work in us, transforming those places within our lives that need to be touched so that they may burst forth into newness of life. This is our hope today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, whenever I came out of seminary, I moved to a little community in Itawamba County. Itawamba County is in northeast Mississippi, and it's near the community of Fulton. So I was assigned there, my first appointment out of seminary, to three churches that form what's called the Carolina Charge, the Carolina Community. And the parsonage was located next to the Carolina Church, and in our backyard was this huge forest back there. And you can imagine, while living there, we saw all kinds of wildlife. I mean, there was constantly things coming in and out of the woods. There were deer. That place was even known for rattlesnakes. Although we never saw one in our yard, people did in that region. But there was all kinds of wildlife. And one day, I was looking out the window in the kitchen, and I noticed something standing out at the edge of the woods in the backyard. And so my curiosity was piqued, and so I went into the backyard, and quietly I saw what it was. It was a gray fox, and it was just standing there, staring at us. And I had never really seen one that close before. You know, most of the time when you see a fox, they're always running somewhere, aren't they? They're running across the road or through a pasture or on the move somewhere. You never hardly ever see them just standing there. And it was staring at me, and I was staring at it. And there was probably 20 yards in between us. And so I wanted to get a closer look, so I would take a step, and she just stood there, ears up, eyes focused, never moving. And I would take a step and watch, and take a step and watch. And what I realized was that there was a safe zone for this wild animal. Because there came a point where I took a step and I got too close. And you know what she did? She ran off into the woods. And I never really saw her again. She was fine with me being there as long as I didn't get too close. You know, there was a safe space that as long as it was maintained, the relationship, so to speak, was fine. You know, as I think about that story over the years, I've thought about how that really relates to our spiritual lives. Because you see, we, a lot of times in our relationship with God, we have this safe zone. That we want God to be a part of our life, but we sometimes can hold God at an arm's distance. Like, God, I'll let you into my life only so much or only so far. And if things start to shift in that where, you know, we feel like, well, maybe God's getting a little bit too close because he's starting to get in our business a little bit, you know, more than we're comfortable with, then sometimes we sort of step back. Well, what I want to encourage you to do in these next 30 days is get as close to God as you can. Avoid the safe zone. Don't hold God at an arm's length anymore, but lean in to everything that God has for you. Get to know God in more intimate ways. As you fast, as you seek God in prayer, this is what I'm hoping for our church, is that you would draw near to the Lord. And I believe if you do this, then God is going to bless us with a deeper fellowship and a deeper walk with Christ. So if there's some area of your life that you've been saying to God, you know, God, I don't know about this area, if I really want to invite you in, because, you know, this might get changed or shifted or my priorities might start to look different, I just want to encourage you to not play it safe, okay? You can trust the Lord completely with your life. Trust Him completely. Now, I want to talk about this verse for just a moment as we prepare to come and receive Holy Communion. So Paul writes the book of Ephesians. It's a letter that he sends to the church, to the house churches that are located in Ephesus. Now, one thing you need to know about this community is that Paul went there on one of his missionary journeys, and he founded a church in this place. And he stays there for 3 years as he disciples these baby Christians and teaches them about the gospel. And he holds these little town hall meetings in the community. Like they rent out an auditorium, we're told in the book of Acts chapter 19. Paul rents out this public space. You know, like a lot today, a lot of churches get started in schools and auditoriums and theaters and different places. Well, Paul was doing the same thing. You know, 2,000 years ago, he would go into these community, these public spaces and start to hold Bible studies and worship. And people would come. And so this is kind of how it gets started. And you can imagine that the church really just blossoms and grows under Paul's leadership. And it starts to change the community and impact the local economy. And you can read all about that in Acts chapter 19. There's some really cool stories there about how the gospel really disrupts this community and disturbs the status quo. And these Christians, their lives are just being transformed. Now, as we think about this, why is the church having such a huge impact in that city? Simply put, it was the gospel. It was the gospel message. It was the good news about Jesus and how Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. The risen Christ, the one that was nailed to a cross, crucified and put in a grave, and how the good news was on 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he ascended back to the Father. And through putting our faith and trust in Jesus, we can have freedom in our lives from a life of sin, and we can be free of the wages of our sin, which is death and separation from God. And so Paul proclaims this gospel of love, that God so loved the world that he came and gave his only son for us. You see, this message was so different from the other messages that people would hear about the gods that they worshiped and all of that. This message brought truth to their hearts. It brought conviction, and it gave them hope that God wants to transform their lives so they reflect more of the life of this man named Jesus. And so this gospel message is shaking up things in people's lives, and people are growing deeper in their relationship to Christ. The Holy Spirit is a part of their fellowship. The Holy Spirit is present in their lives, transforming them. And it's having a tremendous impact. And so in the middle of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays this prayer from verses 14 through 21. And we're going to come back to that prayer in a couple of weeks. And I want to unpack some of the things that Paul is praying for us there. But I want to focus on this last part of it. In verses 20 and 21, again, I want to read them for you. Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him, to Christ, be glory in the church, and in Christ to all generations, forever and ever. And then he concludes, Amen. I want you to notice what Paul says in this passage about God and about us. You know, he starts out and he says, now to Him who is able. Now to the God that we serve, He's a God who's able, Paul says. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far more than we can ask or imagine. And so Paul is just building up our faith in who God is, that God is a God of abundance, that God is a God of power and transformation and deliverance. And whatever we can imagine that we want God to do, He can do so much more than that if we anchor our faith in Him. And some of those earlier verses in 14 through 19, they talk about this. But he is declaring that God has the capacity to move obstacles in our lives and to transform circumstances in our lives. You know, I'm thinking about our prayer and healing service tonight. You know, and how we all need some form of healing in our lives, whether it be physical healing, mental, spiritual healing. You know, there are some things in our life that God wants to deal with. There are some places that God wants to move and touch. But like that relationship with that fox that I was talking about earlier, we have got to take a step towards God. And I know that when we step towards God, that He takes a step towards us. You see, in the book of James, it says to us there, it says, when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. So in other words, when you step towards God and you say, God, I need You in whatever circumstance or situation, or God, I want to grow in my relationship with You, or God, I need You to intervene in this situation that's going on in my life or my friend or my family. When we turn to God, God turns to us. God comes in deeper fellowship with us. We have a deeper awareness of God's presence in those times. But we have to turn to Him. And we turn to Him because we believe in God's power to move and to change circumstances when we turn to Him. You know, there's a song that I've been listening to a lot by Elevation Worship. It's called More Than Able. And the song goes like this. It says, when did I start to forget all the great things You did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? When did I start to believe that You weren't sufficient for me? You know, this song is kind of going through all of these situations that have changed in this person's life. They said, you know, there was a time, God, when I was seeing you work and move in my life. There was a time, Lord, when I had faith in you that was so strong and so deep. There was a time in my life where I knew that you were sufficient for me, that you were enough in my life, that you were all I really needed, and I could get through anything. But something has changed, and we have this person has forgotten, and like the person that wrote this song as kind of a prayer to God, we know what that's like too. That sometimes we move away from God. That maybe there came some moment, and like that fox, we've run. We've been running from God. Maybe not with a strong intentionality, but we've just been neglecting our relationship, our fellowship. Y'all, I want to invite you back into that relationship of faith and trust that God is your sufficient supply. And I pray that during these 30 days that we would deepen our walk. And part of it is I want to challenge you to pray big, bold prayers and to dream dreams about what God wants to do in your life and for our church. You know, Paul says here that God is able to do so much more than we can ask and imagine. Prayer and dreaming. You know, these are two things that I want us to really focus on. Is asking God to move among us. Praying those big, bold prayers for your life, for all of us together. To pray, ask God to reveal His presence to you so that you can become more aware of it in your daily walks. Ask God to speak to you, to whisper to your heart, to give you guidance and direction, to help you understand your purpose, your identity, and how much God loves you. And I want to also challenge you to imagine, what is it that you think or imagine God doing through our church? What kind of impact might we have on our community? What impact can the gospel have in our church when we truly trust Jesus and follow Him? Ask the Lord to help you to see how He wants you to work in your life and the life of our church. I want to encourage you this morning that God is a good God, and I know He wants to bless us. If we will draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. Whatever you can ask or imagine, God can do so much more than that. I know you've seen it before. I know you've experienced it in your life. Call to remembrance those times. Draw strength from them and encouragement. Let it build up your faith. But I also want to challenge you, if you haven't experienced that, seek it. Seek God in a new way. Pray. Read the Bible. Try out the spiritual practice of fasting. And I trust that God will bless you and bless all of us. Today it's time to take a step towards God. And one of the things we do is we come to this table, we take a step of faith, we approach, we come to the table. Jesus extends that invitation to us. He says that all of us have a place at His table. We're all invited. This table is not the church's table, it's Christ's table. You don't have to be a Methodist to come to this table. You don't have to have been baptized. All you have to have is a desire to meet God. And you're declaring that desire when you come forward. You're saying, God, I'm going to come. I want to receive the sacraments. I want to meet you. I want to open my life to that grace and love and that power that can transform me. And so you're invited to this table today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of this sacrament and what it means to us. It is a reminder of the depths of your love for us, Jesus. that your body was broken and hung on a cross. Your blood was shed. Your body was beaten and pierced, Lord, to atone for our sins. And we know that your sacrifice is a perfect one, that it can restore us to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We're so grateful for your sacrifice, Jesus. And in your sacrifice is a call to us to trust in what you have done for us, that your grace is sufficient, that our Father in heaven has such a deep, deep love for his people. And your desire is to shape us and form us by that grace in that love, so that through us we are able to love as we are loved. And God, we come today seeking that fellowship with Christ, that power through the Holy Spirit that can work and break strongholds in our life and deliver us from sin and help us to walk in newness of life, so that our lives image more of Christ. Lord, we desire that today. And we come to this table. We come because we want to meet you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember the night in which Christ gave himself for us. He took bread. He broke it. He gave thanks over it. Blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat from this, all of you. For this is my body, which is broken for you." And when the supper was over, Christ, he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave thanks over it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant that makes you whole, that gives you life, that restores you in fellowship to our Heavenly Father. Do this as often as you would in remembrance of me." And y'all, we're reminded that we are a broken people. You know, the bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, that just as Christ's body was broken, it was broken to make us one, to make us whole. And so we come in expectation of that today. And the cup that we share in, is it not a sharing in this new thing that God has done through Jesus? The new covenant that's available to all of us. When we've sinned, we can come and be cleansed because of Jesus. And so, in remembrance of what Christ has done for us, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on these gifts of bread and juice. We pray that they would become the presence of Jesus with us today. That just as we're nourished by the bread and the juice, that our souls would be nourished by the living presence of Christ. This is our hope, until we are united with Jesus in heaven and we feast at that heavenly banquet with Christ our Lord and all the saints of glory. Oh, we anticipate that moment today, and we hope for it and long for that day to come. In Jesus' name, amen. We are invited now to come and receive communion as we close out our service. And we're going to serve by intinction. So you'll be given a piece of bread, and then you are to take and dip it into the cup. Our ushers are going to direct you, and we're going to do things just maybe a little bit differently. We're going to have a station set up on either side. So there are going to be two communion stations. Katie will be on one side, I'll be on the other. You are to exit the rows here to the outside toward the windows. Come down, receive, and then go back to the center aisle and back into your seat. So come prayerfully today, expectant, as we receive the grace of the Lord. I'm going to invite the band and those that are helping to serve to come forward, and we will serve you first.